fighting fury, we're from Tigerland. In any weather you will see us with a grin, risking head and skin. If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight and fight and win, for we're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the final siren's gone.
Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the Monday Night Big Footy Tiger Cast. Hope you're doing well from wherever you're tuning in. The number one place for all Richmond information and news. We love having you all on board. EJ, welcome back from, you're still in Bali, all the way from Bali still. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I extended my stay.
Just extended a couple stay. More days.
Yeah. I looked at the report back home and it was cold and wet and miserable. So I thought, bugger this, I'm just staying up here.
It has been freezing today. Just the wind. I actually walked the kids to school. I had a jumper. I had shorts on. Instant regret about 45 metres down the road, I reckon. It was horrible.
Yeah, no good. No good.
James Racing, no, there's no robed up CB this time. He's actually in bed crook, as is Grok, funnily enough. So not sure what they've been getting up to in their spare time together, but both in bed sick, which is no good.
CB only joins when he can be the centre of attention these days. So, less and less frequent.
That's right. It's a grand entry to nothing at all. What's Bali Tapes?
Oh, you used to go, back in the day, you used to get all the ripped shows and stuff like that. So you used to get Bali Tapes, and then you got Bali DVDs.
Like a folder full of just discs, stacked on top of each other?
Yeah, and you'd buy like a stack and they cost nothing, and you'd come home and two of them would be recorded in the cinema and you could see people walking across the front of the screen. Two of them wouldn't work at all, and then you'd get six that would work properly out of 10. You'd probably have a 60% success rate as to – but not that piracy is acceptable, and I don't condone it at all, but, yeah, we might have a couple lying around.
I remember, we used to have folders like that in the car. I remember we used to get them from, mates' dads. They'd be like, oh, I've got a heap of games. You want to buy some? Never put any thought into where they came from at the time being a kid. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, no worries. So I was probably part of some big gaming syndicate of some type. They didn't even know it.
I don't want the feds at my house. I'm sorry. I don't do it anymore.
No, well.
Haven't done it for a long time.
A lot of the things don't take discs anymore anyway. Half the people these days won't even know what a DVD player is. It's all just stream services. But anyway, we'll get stuck into it. We obviously had the bye on the weekend, so no footy for the Tigers to speak of. But in a slightly sort of related story, I do want to start off by giving Tom McCarthy a massive round of applause and pat on the back for his debut game for West Coast on the weekend. I think he had 31 or 32 disposals. Was quite easily best on ground for them in his debut as a AFL footballer, obviously from our VFL program. It was only a few weeks ago he was stacking shells when he wasn't, doing footy training and playing games. And EJ, I know people might look at it as we lost another one, but we technically were never going to get him anyway because we didn't have the number one pick in the mid-season draft, even if we had a spot available. But what a story to go from the VFL team at Richmond to playing for West Coast and just smashing it. The first player for them in 2025 to register over 30 disposals he did on debut. Remarkable.
Unbelievable. Did he win the Rising Star?
No. No, he did not.
What?
I'm actually not sure if he's eligible. Is he too old? Like, is there an age limit?
I was going to say that the only way that Richmond can get a nomination is by having someone drafted to another club.
Put him in a different uniform, yeah. I think his age might make him ineligible, unfortunately.
Must be too old.
That withstanding, he would have shitted in. That was a monumental game. I did have to chuckle when there was a few sort of bits and pieces talking about the Harley Reid trade or whatever on Twitter, and then people started throwing out there, should we try and include him in the trade to get him back? They've just picked him up, get him as a pick, him coming back the other way. But I actually said this jokingly, Damon, but I'm actually kind of almost believing it might happen, that if he keeps this up, he'll win their BNF from joining the club halfway through the year. Could you imagine if that happened? My goodness.
I'll tell you who won't win their BNF.
Who's that?
Tim Kelly. He's dropped off the face of the earth. Yeah, Bakes will win their BNF by an absolute street.
Yeah, Bakes is definitely pretty good. Anyway, that's enough about West Coast. Just wanted to give Tom McCarthy a pat in the back because that's a bloody awesome effort. Well, on that, we'll kind of semi-address it. I don't think there is a way, Vince, to benefit from the VFL program unless you're prepared to take those players in the national draft at the end of the year or the mid-season draft. I don't think there's any other mechanism in which you can take those players. I might be wrong. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't believe there's another way to do it. But I get what you mean. Like we've had a great VFL system and everyone else is benefiting from it. But it is what it is.
Yes, well, I'm going to take the glass half full approach. We're benefiting from it as well. We have developed a lot of depth. We're now talking about, it's going to be hard to get these players in, but we've got to get X, Y, and Z in every week. And we've now got depth in multiple positions. Like after the premiership cycle, we went through a period where we lost a lot of players and then players retired, etc. We were very shallow. We probably didn't even have a decent full-strength side, but now we're developing a side where there is genuine depth in positions, and that comes because of our VFL program. So as a consequence, you are going to lose a couple. Now, would you rather lose them from the VFL program or would you rather lose talent at the AFL level?
Yeah, exactly.
We've got to take it on board that these players that we're developing, yes, we're going to lose some. We're also going to promote some to the rookie list and things like this. So, no, I'll take the glass half full approach.
Yeah, no, I don't mind it. I agree. I think it speaks volumes about the people we've got in place in that VFL program, and it seems to be industry-wide that we run a pretty good ship, and it's a compliment. It's a compliment if nothing else. So we'll take that every day of the week. But we'll kick off with the North Melbourne Death Ride chart, one of the favourite times of the week. This was bloody close, EJ. I tell you what, as much as we like to shit-can North Melbourne a little bit, they have been... I think they've been playing really good football and just been extraordinarily unlucky, especially, the Collingwood game, I think they were thereabouts two from memory, and now the Fremantle game. So they could have quite conceivably won the last four in a row had a few things gone their way. And I think it's on the back of them playing a really ultra-contested game of football that's keeping them in it. But the Dockers got the job done for us, thankfully, which takes their total losses to 9, still in 16th, and we've still got their pick number 3. But they are going to beat a few teams in the back half of the year.
Yeah, they are. They are the contested side of it is, and it's good to see. I don't want any side to be down for an extended period of time, except maybe Essendon Carlton. But it's good to see someone like Wardlaw get a run of games and not be injured, and you can see what he is. You talk about the contested game, he's fantastic. So, no, they're going really well north, but they're not quite going well enough to get the wins, so happy days.
Exactly right. And they've got the Blues this week, which is a big game for them, or for both clubs, really. Carlton fighting to try and get into the eight, and North Melbourne fighting just to try and get the win they've been craving. But I guess...
Is that in WA?
Yeah. I'll double check. No, it's not. It's not. But it's kind of getting now to a point for us and for North Melbourne, like almost a point of no return where the gap's starting to become quite large in the places they've got to chase if they want to make this pick 7 or 8 instead of pick 3. In fact, I probably think we're almost very close to a top 5 or 6 guarantee, aren't we? We must be getting very close.
Yeah, pretty much.
They
are going to win a couple of games, there's no doubt about that. But also the teams above are going to sneak a couple of games as well. So you'd think that pretty much the distance might keep itself pretty close.
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, tracking okay. Now, I did have this next question a bit further ahead, but I'm going to bring it forward ever so slightly. On the assumption that we maybe end up with picks 2 and 3, I mean, I know people say that picks 1 and 2, but West Coast, I don't know, I'm just not sure they're going to get enough wins to pass us. They might. But anyways, let's say we get picks 2 and 3. Would you entertain the idea of splitting those picks with someone like Essendon, who might have a 9 and a 6 or something like that?
Only for trade purposes.
Okay, so you wouldn't do it if it was to get an extra pick, an extra live pick in the draft. You'd only do it if it was
not if you've got pick two and three to turn three into six and nine or something like that. But if I was doing it because we could then keep a pick in the top 10 and trade two picks out for a magical target like, I don't know, Raleigh Heed or someone like that.
Raleigh Heed.
In that case, yes, I would.
And to Jones Racing point as well, with the Essendon picks in particular that I'm talking about, some of those will end up getting pushed back quite a bit because of the academies and shit like that. So maybe it's not worth doing, but there's going to be some big decisions to have to be made in regards to, yeah, to Harley. And then another player that got thrown into the mix as well over the weekend, I'll remove this now. Another player that got thrown into the mix over the weekend was Sam Flanders from the Gold Coast Suns. Now, I'm not at all saying directly linked to us. It was more to do with it. It was reported that he might be looking to explore opportunities to come home to play in Victoria. He does seem like he's on the outer a little bit at Gold Coast. When I talk about position-wise, I mean, he was playing halfback and then doing really well there, had probably a career-best year, played a couple of games at half forward at the end of last year, and all of a sudden they bring in Dan Rioli and Noble, who are pretty much their locks at halfback, and Flanders just hasn't got anywhere near it since. I mean, a game the other week, he had like 9 or 10 touches, and that's not like him at all. If he became an option, would he be someone you would consider before Harley Reid, or would he be a last resort? I mean, I only say before because they're going to cost substantially different amounts in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think you look at everything that's on the table, but realistically, when I say we, I'm talking about the club, think that they've pretty much nailed this draft and it's bats pretty deep. I think Flanders is more a really good mid-quality depth player. He's not an A-grader. Is that what we really should be trading in for?
I mean,
it depends on the cost, I suppose.
It depends on the cost. If we're bringing him in, we'd be bringing him in as a midfielder, I think.
Okay, so what? Then he's going to play and get game time ahead of kids we're trying to develop, like Houghton, Smiley.
I know it's a real catch-22 because we do need to sprinkle some 23, 24, 25-year-olds throughout the list, though. I think we would be naive to try and push forward wholeheartedly with this list in a development phase because we're not far away from losing Vlosten, Broad, Prestia, Lynch, etc. So I just think we just need that little sprinkle of age to try and bridge the gap. But I also take that point that for the now, it does rob Peter to pay Paul a little bit, doesn't it, with the midfield minutes or whatever position you might be.
It really comes down to the cost. I certainly wouldn't use a first rounder on him.
No, with the two picks we've got currently, I wouldn't use either of them, and that's where maybe a splitting or something like that would come into play. Or I suppose if we're talking about Gold Coast, though, realistically, it's probably a future pick because they've got their own academy players and stuff to worry about this year that they don't want the higher round picks for. So it might be a 2027 pick, which I would then be more than happy to do because that's your compromised Tassie draft. If you're exiting that to get a Flanders in.
That makes more sense, but
yeah, I think it'd be less palatable if we were doing it for picks from this year. But if you're talking 2027 picks, I think you'd have to consider it. If he's an option, might not be a real option.
But look, he's a nice player. He's a good player. I'm not sort of downplaying that part of it. It's more the cost versus where we are. I mean, we've had the ability over time to pick up players like Caddy for a second rounder, Nank for a third rounder. Like, there was some crazy stat, might have been Hawthorn, I think, that they haven't paid under pick 20 for any of their players that they've traded in, like Deborah. So it's about being smart about using the picks. It's not about saying, no, we don't want that player. It's just about not overpaying.
Yeah, that's a fair call. Speaking of not wanting to overpay, well, sort of, we'll dip into the under-18 champs just briefly. On the weekend, just gone, South Australia played against WA and absolutely smashed them by 76 points. And again, Dyson Sharp was BOG, I feel like, by a long way. 33 touches, 2 goals, 6 marks, 7 tackles, 6 clearances. A lot of his disposals, funnily enough, EJ, came directly from the hands of our Louis Callaway. 21 disposals, 5 marks, 3 tackles, 1 clearance. So young Louis put in another really, really solid game. And whilst he probably handballs a lot more than I would like, he's making – I'm going to be careful how I say this, because Sharp's a very good player. But Callaway is making Sharp look like $1 million with the way that he feeds him the ball at all costs. Like, they've got a really good connection in there. And it's no secret that he and Callaway are part of that number one midfield brigade for a reason. But if we – I know we spoke about this last week. If Sharp was to fall to one of our picks 2 or 3, I feel like we've got a few of his type already. But that being said, would you still take him on the back of how well he's been performing and just get another good player in there? Or would you still go for someone a bit more needs-based?
I don't feel like I'm qualified to answer that question. It's not my area of expertise. The only thing I'll say on that is, for years, we saw Essendon recruit similar type players and not address their needs when it comes to recruiting, what's his name? On my shoulder, Dylan Shiel.
On my shoulder.
But they took about 2 or 3 different people from GWS.
Yeah.
And they took a lot of averaging and middling sort of midfielders and stuff like that. And none of them were contested players. So they just kept adding to what they had without addressing what they needed. That's the warning, I think, for us, is you can't just keep getting halfback flankers or getting midfielders or whatever. You've actually got to look at what you need. And if it doesn't fit us, well, then I say no.
And as much as he's an appealing prospect, kind of to RFC Centre's point, like, we just drafted Smiley. We've obviously got Lawler as well. McAuliffe is another kind of bull player. I'm not at all saying McAuliffe will be at the level of Sharp or vice versa, but it's like, how many of the same type can you have in a side? Could the pick be better spent, I guess,
And you can say McAuliffe is not going to be as good as Sharp, and that's fine. But as we've discussed before, you can't have 23 A-graders in your side.
True.
So if you've got a solid B-grader like we think McAuliffe will become, you say, right, that's a piece of the puzzle that I can lock in, and then we can look at the other areas to invest. And, you know, we've got A-grade Lawler, we've got A-grade Smiley, say he's come on. So you've got your mid-forward, you've got your inside bull, then you say we've got Hotton's supposed to got the tickets on him. He's your A-grade whiz kid, Shea Bolton, you know, freak.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start plugging B and C graders in around it somewhere. Mm. So you can't just – if we do overstack, then we're just going to lose people a couple of years down the track because we can't afford to pay them all.
Now, I've seen a few comments in the chat about the need for speed. So, funnily enough, Fred Rodriguez for WA was playing in the same game and had 19 disposals, 4 marks, 3 tackles, 3 clearances. He's been one that I've been keen on for a little while because, and I know there's the go-home factor that people will speak about. I understand that. But he has some serious wheels. And to me, I think he fits a better need for us as a midfielder with pace than what Sharp does, even though Sharp is probably the better player overall as a more rounded game. So it's going to be interesting to see how we go about that. And I saw a few people asking about Callaway as well. And look, draft projections aren't my area of expertise, but look, hand on heart, I've watched a lot of his games this year because of all the videos that I've done, like all pretty much from round one all the way through to now from Sturt and the champs. And outside of round one and two, he has improved significantly week on week. And he's put in another good champs game. And I think he's only rising in stocks. I'm not saying he's going to be a first rounder, but I'm thinking he could be a mid to late second rounder, potentially maybe early third if we get really lucky. But I reckon second round is where he's sitting at the moment. He just does a lot of things really well. He doesn't have one absolute standout trait, but he does a lot of things collectively really, really good. He's got good footy IQ, positions himself well at stoppages. You know, on the weekend, he had a really good mark at halfback and split middle open with a good run, hit his target inside 50. It's, yeah, he's tracking run, I think he's going to be a handy little addition to our squad.
What did you say? Rodriguez was the guy that you liked. He's quick.
Fred Rodriguez.
Yep. For those of you with a 1970s cartoon background, it's a pity his name isn't Gonzalez. Arriba, arriba, andre, andre.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's yeah, but we do. And Grill's the other one who's got speed too. But, I mean, Grill hasn't shown much, I don't think, in this champs. So I'm a little bit hesitant with him. And I think a little bit of it's to do with being played in the wrong position, if I'm being honest. But, yeah, we do have a need for speed, that's for sure. So it's as guaranteed as it can be, I guess, nuclear, without everyone able to officially say something, I suppose. But, yeah, hopefully we will see him in the yellow and black in the near future. Fingers crossed. Well, before we get to Come On Man, I just want to bring up a couple of images quickly, just to warm the hearts of the folks at home. It's not CB in a robe or anything like that, so don't stress. First one, Sam Lawler. It's just great to see him back out on the training track. These are from the club's website that they posted today, training article. Smile on the face, massive quads, Jesus. Next one we'll bring up, Taj Houghton. Now, Taj, EJ, he is in line to play in the VFL this week against the Western Bulldogs, which is bloody exciting.
So what we're saying is he is days away from putting on a Richmond jumper. Not weeks away, he is days away.
Yeah, I believe he is days away. Five sleeps, James Racing's gone with five sleeps to, yeah, before we see him run out for the first time at, what is it? I think it's 11:25 a.m. at Marvel Stadium. It'll be packed. It'll be 50,000 there by the time the ball bounces with the VFL.
I think James Racing needs to put the keyboard down for 5 minutes.
Oh, he's loving it. Can't wait to see Taj playing. I know. It's going to be good.
He's already bigger than Dow.
And what Collier Dawkins was as well in his stint at the club too. No, his body shape has changed quite a bit. Can we get into the... I don't know, Mark. It's a Bulldogs home game, so I guess if you've got home and away membership, you'll be able to. But other than that, I'm actually not too sure. But, I mean, I don't know what my movements are on Saturday. When we play on Sunday morning, if I have the time to do so, I'll do a live stream of the VFL game. I won't stream the game, but we'll do a live watch-along because it's going to be very exciting to see young Taj out there. Where do we think he plays? Wing, midfield? Or do we know, have we heard anything from the club where they're anticipating that he lines up for the VFL? I mean, a lot of us probably don't really care. As long as he's out there, we're probably pretty well happy.
He's going to be mid-forward, isn't he?
Yeah, it'd be cool to see him in a couple of centre-bounce stoppages, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
That'd be nice. And the last one I'll bring up is Josh Smiley, who's just having a bounce of the footy. Good to see him on the track as well. So we're obviously not far away from seeing Smiley, Lawler, and potentially Houghton in the same side. I'm still earmarking round 17 against Essendon. I think it's round 17, as the game that we might see all three of these youngsters play together at once, which would be pretty incredible. But, yeah, good to see Smiley, Lawler, and co out on the track. Smiley's... Well, I think that was the plan. The plan was to... just get a bit of work into him and then unleash him. And I've heard little drips and drabs that potentially, EJ, the club might, and I'm not saying this is categorically true, I'm saying that this is what I've heard around the traps, that we may bypass the VFL segment for Smiley upon his return from lack of fitness worries. I'm trying to say it, I don't want to lose out. And we may just go straight to AFL, so he just gets straight into the system once he's done this fitness block.
I'm not saying anything.
you just don't want to say the word either. But no, very, very exciting times coming up with the young Cubs. All right, well, with that said, I've got to find my little media asset here. Here we go. It's now time for... Hang on, I'm going to turn the volume up too. I'm very organized.
Come on, man.
I hate that. It cuts out the first one. Come on, man.
Oh, fair income. All right. Now, this is just a we've got a nomination for the week, but something else came across my bow. We're in the segment of the season where we've got buys, right? Yep. So it's not a full round of nine games. You've got seven games and six games, etc.
Yeah.
Right. So there's two games this Sunday, right? Yep. Which is fine. Any chance on a Sunday with the whole day and we've got two games that you could schedule them without overlapping each other? AFL.
Come on, man.
Come on. That is a disgrace.
It blows my mind that that's happened, that they have two games overlapping. How is that even possible? I just don't understand it. Before you get into the actual nomination, I know we do clip some mainstream media people every now and then that do deserve it. We don't shy away from that. I do want to give a shout out though to David Zeta, who actually did the reverse Sam McClure or the reverse Damian Barrett. He made a statement that ended up not being correct, and he actually came out publicly, put his hand up and said, shouldn't have done it, got it wrong, I apologize. And if you go through the comments, how nice was it to see the response saying, mate, well done, like, good on you for putting your hand up and owning it. So David Zeta, well done to you. That's exactly what journalism should be about. You can come out with whatever you want to come out with, but if you get it wrong, own up to it, cop it on the chin and move on. Don't keep sweeping under the rug and throwing darts like these other clowns. So yeah, well done to David Zeta.
100%. We will. Because let's be honest, right? Everyone's after the rumor and the scoop and all this sort of stuff. So it's not like we don't enjoy it when we hear something, especially when it damages a club we don't like, et cetera, et cetera. So it's always going to be there. But when you go with something really big and you get it wrong, just put your hand up,
yep.
Right? But I've just seen something on the side, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put, thanks to RFC Centre, I'm going to have to put another nomination in here before I go with the one. Apparently, McClueless has said that Holmes and Smith from Geelong are not A-graders. Come on, man.
Holmes is A-graders.
Holmes is unreal.
Holmes is a very underrated player. And didn't Bailey Smith just rack up 41 touches for the fifth time in a row?
Who's the Brownlow favourite?
Is it Smith?
It's Bailey bloody Smith.
Is it really? Okay.
Not an A-grader, McClueless. Just shut up.
Wow.
Well, anyway, but the winner this week, don't put the graphic up.
There we go.
Right. The nomination this week, and it is going to come on to the – it will make the list. It's made the list. You're on the list. Clarko. Come on, man. Right. Ruse coach Alistair Clarkson admits rival heavyweight Collingwood is gifted a dream home fixture, right, and he would love to have it. Well, how about not selling two games to WA? You kind of handicap yourself. Come on, man. You cannot come out and say that after your club has sold games. I know you're trying to paint a rosy picture for your members and make out that you're the battlers and all this, but when you shoot yourself in the foot, don't go pointing at anyone else.
Come on, man.
No, I mean, that's a fair call. That'd be like if we were complaining about the Cairns games that we sold and not playing more at home. Oh dear, that's a bit of a doozy. That's fair enough making the list. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. It's going to take a fair bit to top the third party payments, but I'm glad that one made it in there. All right, well, if there's any other Command Man nominations, feel free to send them through as well. But I think that is pretty comprehensive. On to the Bulldogs game this week on Sunday. Massive game. I'm a little bit scared about this one, EJ, if I'm being totally honest.
Hang on.
Yep.
I actually forgot something. We might even have to make a top eight leaderboard.
Oh,
Jones Racing 82. Again, Sam McClueless. Mate, when are you going to get it through your thick, entitled, arrogant skull that the media is not the story, the fans and the game is the story, going off his rocker about the grand final time not being moved, mate.
Right. Okay.
It's not about Channel 7. It's not about 3AW. It's not about anything else. The game is our game. It's not your bloody game. We don't move our games to suit you and get your ratings. Mate, just
yeah.
It's the same stories every year. Back in your box. Someone take him off radio, please.
Another possible late entrant here from Hoops and Football, which I think is Shannon. Did Damien Barrett really say that the North Melbourne loss was good and acceptable after sliding dooring us the week prior about honourable losses? If someone can find me where that's written, I will happily retweet it again.
I've missed that. If that legitimately got said,
my goodness.
As Eddie McGuire would say, what a big week it's been in. Come on, man.
Yeah. Gee, wowee. That's quite extraordinary from Damo, if that's what's transpired. A few people are putting in votes for Caroline Wilson. I'm not sure if we'll go near that one just yet. But yeah, a few people putting her name up there as well. Wow. That's thrown me that
Damo. There were more entries. Well done to the people who are listening. You keep bringing up fantastic points and you keep triggering me.
No, so. I like it. Very good. All right, so on to the Bulldogs game, massive game on Sunday. We're coming off the bye, EJ, which notoriously doesn't work so well for sides, and I really don't know how we're going to go, because there's obviously a large segment or feeling from a lot of us that we probably needed the rest. We're probably due for a bit of a break with some of the youngsters looking a little bit tired, but how are we going to come back out after the bye? Who knows? The Bulldogs, well, they're going okay. Sam Darcy is arguably the best player in the competition right now. He is grabbing everything, kicking everything. I've entered a bet with another Richmond supporter, mind you. I think that Ben Miller can keep him goalless. Now, only direct matchup. If Darcy kicks 5 goals on Bolter, that's okay. I still win the bet. As long as he doesn't kick 1 on Ben Miller. I'm backing Michaels. I'm backing him in.
Michaels, come on, man.
I'm backing Ben Miller in. Like I said, if he kicks 5 on Bolter, that's okay. Well, it's not okay, but you know what I mean. Anyway, talking about the game itself, it's a little bit difficult to gauge ins and outs, I guess, because we've got no form line to go off from last week in AFL or VFL. What's your general vibe, though? So just to give a bit of a brief recap of the VFL from last week, so Jasper Alga had a really nice game with, I think, 3 goals. We had Jacob Blight had 24 disposals, 12 marks. Trezise, 19 disposals, 7 tackles, 6 marks. Morris Rorelli Jr., 1 goal, 17 touches, 2 tackles, 2 marks. Just with the 3, like I said. McKelty, 1 goal, 13 touches, 6 tackles, 5 hitouts, 4 clearances. And the names kind of go on. But can you see any changes coming in for this week against the Dogs? And if so, what are you thinking it might look like?
Yeah, I think there'll probably be a couple. I would imagine maybe we get some rotation in the smalls and mediums. Maybe Smith or Steely comes out and Alga gets a run. And maybe one of the young talls has a break and McKelty comes in. I don't think it's going to be wholesale changes, but yeah.
And I can't help but wonder. I wonder how different the changes might have looked if there wasn't the bye in between. Like, has the bye saved someone like a Sims or a Fall from getting rested for this game? I still think we need another mature body up forward. So I am most definitely in the camp of bringing in a LaFau, if that's who we want to put up forward in place of one of Fall or Sims. And I know that there's the developmental piece of those young players as well. But the reality of it is that opposition defense are killing us with intercept marking, and they're taking our players completely out of the play, and we're not giving ourselves a chance to score despite having like 45 to 55 inside 50s. Over half of them are being marked by the other team. So we're just not giving ourselves a chance because we just can't compete for long enough up in the air. And I just think that's where McKelty could be a big change for us.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to address something here. I keep changing the way that I say the name because I don't know how it is said, whether it's Alger or Alga, I don't know. But if you're going to come and correct me, which is fine, because I want to know because I'm like, I've been big on the Lawler thing, pronouncing it right. But if you're going to call yourself Hawk Tim, I'm probably less inclined to listen than if you call yourself Tiger Tim.
Hawk Tim, Alger, and like there's like three different pronunciations. I haven't heard the club officially give us a stance on it yet.
Look, he's probably right. He probably knows. I don't know. And I must admit, I swap it around because I legitimately don't know. I wish someone would come out and say it.
Just head your bets. Yes,
Norton is our modern-day Mason Wood. Remember when Wood played for North and he'd just turn into prime Carey every time we played them?
Do you remember one of Aaron Norton's very early games when he was kind of, I think he was playing in defence for a lot of the start of his career, and then one of the early stages he moved forward was against us. And again, looked like Wayne Carey, took about 12 marks and just smashed us. And that was kind of the making of him being a forward.
So what
do we do there matchup-wise? I mean, we've got Darcy and Norton to worry about. Rory Lobb, CB's man, has obviously gone to the back line. Well, he's playing both ends of the ground, to be honest. To be totally fair to Rory Lobb, he has turned his career around substantially. Like, it wasn't that long ago he was making TikToks about getting traded and all kinds of random shit, and I think he's actually done really well.
Yeah, he has. He's done fantastic, and maybe CB was right.
Well, yeah, we won't say that when he's on the show. We'll definitely keep that one to a tonight special when he's in bed. Okay, so in terms of the changes, so we're saying I agree that Caleb Smith could be in danger as well. LaFau, Jasper, and yeah, you're right. Maybe that's it. I don't know. It's what about Camden McIntosh? Let me throw that one too. He was subbed for the last couple of games. We've had the bye now. Does the bye break the cycle of then having to go back to play a full game in the VFL? Does it reset itself because of the break?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I can see a transition in the back half of the year when he doesn't play as many games.
It feels like it's kind of happening a little bit now, isn't it?
Yeah, yep, yep. But oh, hello. I'm by myself. What's going on? Don't really know how to hold the show here because I'm not a host. I do agree with RFC that we're still better off with Camden than without him, but the time is coming where we've got to fit Smiley in, we've got to fit Hotton in, we've got to fit Alger in, we've got to fit, I've been holding the fort here, this is killing me. Thank you.
I booted myself from my own studio. I've got no idea how I did it. There you go. Maybe I should stop pushing buttons. there you go. Everyone's getting behind you. That's good about
it. It was a bit daunting when the screen just went to one thing. It was like, oh, what do I do now? But you know, I think we're just saying that we've got to get in the back half of the year. We've got to fit Hotton in. We've got to fit Smiley in. We've got to fit Alger in. You know, we've got Armstrong coming back. We've got to fit Lawler back in. You know, there's a lot of these young kids that we want to get games into. And there's only so many other players you can take out before K-Mac becomes one of those players. So I can see the transition happening. And he would understand that.
I think so. I think there's conversations like that would already happen, no doubt. The other one is Jack Ross. He's a really interesting one. Like if you watched the club's mid-season video that they put out that showed some stats, he actually features quite prominently in a lot of key areas like score involvements and inside 50s and things like that. But then his game last week, for example, I think he had 5 or 6 disposals. And I guess from a supporter's eye test watching the game, that hasn't seemed like he's had a pretty good 2 or 3 weeks. Is he in danger of missing out potentially?
In the back half of the year again, yes, as we keep fitting these players in, yes. You know, as other people have rightly pointed out, Gibkus has got to come back as well. We've There's a lot of love for Trisize.
Yeah.
So like it's we're in a transition phase over this year and next year, you know, and we're going to see some players that have meant a lot to us. I mean, we've got also coming to the end with, you know, you've probably only got two years left of you've lost and Broad and players like this. Nank's getting on as well. We're in this transition phase. There's going to be, I reckon there's going to be a cusp changeover bit where a couple of the old people hang on for success and finals again, but most of them will be out and gone by the time it happens.
Julie's got a really good question. Does Jaden Short get to play? Because I think he is technically now available. I don't think there was a fitness report today. I'm being very careful. But I believe based on the last one that he would be available for selection as long as he passed one final test.
Okay.
Feels like an auto inclusion, doesn't he?
No, not to me.
Not. I agree from a supporter. I agree. I think I probably more mean that from a club perspective. It almost feels like it's an auto selection, but it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. So my question would be, if Short is playing, who are you taking out?
The question. The first one that comes to mind would be Caleb Smith. He probably didn't do a lot wrong, but they probably offer similar outputs at the same point in time, and Short's got the experience, I guess. But then I'd also wouldn't mind Trezise coming in for Caleb Smith as well, because Trezise has had a really good month in the VFL playing wing and half back and whatnot. And I think he probably has a few more tricks up his sleeve than maybe even what Shorty does. But I think if the club's making that change, I think they would do it for Smith for sure, I think. Which would be, really, really interesting. Interesting to see where he lines up. On the assumption he plays, I know we've floated a few times that he's probably best to maybe even roll through half forward or somewhere like that. I guess what we're going to be watching out for is, will they remove Sam Banks from the half back line to facilitate this, or will they work around it? That's going to be the big question for me.
Yeah, I would be really disappointed if they move Banks out of the way, because we've all seen his development. And then if you look at the forward line and you look at the non-talls, we're talking about wanting to fit Alger into the forward line, and yet we're talking about putting Short down there. Now, what would we rather see? Would we rather see Alger? We'd rather see Short. So, unfortunately, I think it's just a case of it's time is that's probably the logical thing is Short comes in for Smith.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with that, because unlike some of the other players, I don't see Smith as a long-term solution. So I'd be kind of okay with that. I don't think it's taking away from our future by making that change.
Yeah, that's a fair call. Are we a chance to win the game? And if we're not going to win the game, what do we have to try and do to remain competitive in the game? Like, we can't have another Sydney performance. And, you know, this one worries me when I'm thinking about 100-point territory. And I don't want to get one of those. I think it's a big thing on the list to not get. How do we keep ourselves in this game?
I don't know. I'm worried. This is the game. I'm more worried about this game than the Geelong game. This game just worries me. And it's a matter of whether the Dogs are on or not.
Yeah.
If the Dogs are on, I think it's a real trouble game.
Like, I'm looking at their side, and it's the outside speed that worries me the most. Like Treloar, Bailey Dale, Joel Frazier, Ed Richards, who I on record wanted to come to the club. Sam Davidson, they've got some good wheels out wide. And then they've got Norton, Darcy, and we still haven't mentioned Bonson, Pally, Libba as well doing their thing. So they bat extremely deep as a team, and it's going to take a monumental effort for us to be in this. I know we've started games really well lately, but coming off the bye, how do you think we're going to go in the opening quarter post a bye? which traditionally doesn't work well.
I think we're going to get torched.
In the first quarter anyway, in particular?
Yeah, I think we're going to get torched.
It's almost like, to Peter's point, it's almost like we have to go full North Melbourne and just have an ultra-contested ball game. Like, we kind of have to try and keep this on the inside as much as possible. If we try and go head-to-head on the outside, we are going to get lit up pretty quickly, I reckon.
Yeah, and contested ball, and you're talking about get Bali to ground?
I'll get ball to ground. Get ball to ground.
I'll get ball to ground. I mean, yeah. We talk about contested ball, and I know that Tarando and Hopper are no slouches, and, you know, McCall of whatever. But we're talking Libba, Richards, and Bond. You know, like it's different gravy. And they've got, and when we do get it forward, you say we've had a lot of trouble locking the ball in because we've had the junior. Who would you rather have bringing it out of the back than Bailey Dale? You know, like they've got the spread as well. You know, like it's, unfortunately for our stage in development, this is just a side that is not a good matchup.
It's not. And, you know, if this ends up being a 65-70 point loss, it's probably, and we've said this before, it's probably going to be an accurate reflection of where both teams are at and just the way the two sides match up. Would you use Camden in a tagging role to try and drag this out for as long as possible? And if so, is it the Bont? Is it Libba? I mean, probably not Libba, I guess. Probably has to be the Bont by default. I don't think you could go with Treloar if we were to use him in that way.
Yeah. Well, David Harris says the Bulldogs aren't even in the eight and laughing. I'll tell you what, I reckon they'll be there by the end of the year.
Their form fluctuates, no doubt, but on paper and on their day, they are an unbelievably good side and they move the ball very, very well by comparison to what we're doing. And this is why I reckon we need to have that more mature body up forward, because Rory Lobb recently has played some really good footy with intercept marking. And if we want to give ourselves a chance to try and score, we need to somehow bring the ball to ground to be able to create stoppages, to create crumbing goals or whatever it might be to try and get past 80-odd points, but it's going to be a tough one. And they play Marvel well too.
Yeah. 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 I don't have any – normally I can make a case for some part of the ground being, you know, a strength or something like that. But I think that, yeah, it's just one of those – the old boxing adage is styles make fights, and I just don't think we've got the style for this particular fight. But that's okay. Looking forward to seeing, you know, the kids again, more development. There'll be some bright spots. Maybe for the 60% game time he plays, maybe you put McAuliffe on Richards, you know, something like that.
Wonder where they'll play trainer this week as well. And this is probably another question. If Jaden Short, hypothetically speaking, comes back in, I think that's still pushes Trainer to the wing, which I don't mind if that's where they're going to play him, but that's just another reason to not play him back in defence.
Yeah. I mean, there's more questions than answers this week, and it's like we were talking 2 weeks ago about maybe giving Trainer a spell, and here we are, and we don't know where we're going to play him. So I think if one of the other two young tools goes out, that Trainer might spend a bit of time down forward again.
Yeah, I can see that happening as well. Yeah, I can definitely see that. All right, well, we'll get a tip including margin, and then if anyone else has got any other questions they want to ask, whether it's about whatever Richmond related, send them through. We'll spend 5 or so minutes answering some questions, because we do often not get around to doing that in shows, and we thought we'll make the most of it tonight. With the bye, we didn't have to obviously review a game. So what's the tip including margin for this one, EJ?
If we manage to keep this under 10 goals, I will be doing cartwheels. Bulldogs by 57 points.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a Bulldog 45 to 55 kind of areas, and that might be on the nicer side, but it's...
Okay. All I want to see is, even though we're getting flogged, we don't drop our heads. There's been a couple of games earlier in the year where it looked like it could get really messy and we managed to keep it somewhat respectable.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see, just the effort and intensity maintained.
Agree. If they can do that for four quarters, I think you walk away knowing that at least they had a crack and that's all you can kind of ask for. So we'll get to a few questions. Any latest on Reid and Walker? Haven't heard anything, to be honest. No, I haven't heard from Grock or Tiggs or anybody else in regards to either of those two. But the moment we do, we will most definitely share at Jones Racing. Kellaway, how do we get him? We only have first round picks this year. So we're essentially going to have to trade in a second or a third round pick of some kind, some way, shape or form. And I guess, EJ, that kind of tied into your little exercise we did on the last week's show about some players that might be potentially looking for further opportunity. So I'm not at all suggesting that Bauer and Sonzi might command second round picks, but if you get two thirds, maybe you can bundle it up and get a second, or maybe there's futures involved. There'll be a few different ways it will happen, but it will have to happen by trade to be able to get it done, I guess.
Yep.
Talkies by 37. Sonzi, yeah, Sonzi. Do we think time to move Terrano to half forward and provide more development options and pace in the midfield?
I wouldn't mind him going 70% midfield, 30% forward. Then your Lawler can go 30% midfield, 70% forward. So at a small section down forward, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
But that would be to introduce someone else into the rotation, one of the kids.
Which I think we're going to have to see when Smiley comes in. Because Smiley and Lawler are going to both be wanting / needing midfield minutes. So something's going to have to give somewhere down the line. So I'll have to see how that one goes. From Stay Tuned, if the Tassie Devil teams fall over, will it hamper us or will it not matter?
Well, it takes the pressure off us losing Banks, Campbell, etc., all the Tassie boys. So it would be advantageous, less pressure on us.
Yeah, I think it would help in that sense. I also hope that it does get over the line, to be honest. I think it would be just shit if it didn't get over the line, but we'll have to see how it plays out. Do we trade one of our picks for a future first with Essendon so we can do an Essendon death ride chat next year? I don't know. Not if it's two or three. I think if it's two and three that we have, you're either trading them both for an experienced player or you keep them both and go to the draft. I'm kind of open to splitting them for this year, more this year picks, but I don't know whether I'll do next year's. Although we do need some picks next year for some other father sons and NGAs as well.
A couple of people are asking, why does Ross play high half forward? My answer to that would be, who do you take out of the midfield rotation? Because you're not going to put Ross in there instead of Toretto. You're not going to put Ross in there instead of Hopper. We want to see Lawler in there because we want to develop him. We want to see McAuliffe in there because we want to develop him. I think, and that might lead to your point about him being high in goal assists and inside 50s and stuff in the stats because he's playing more that high half forward role. It's just a case of being squeezed out, I think. That's why he's playing high half forward and not centre. And therefore, the discussion goes on to, I know that everyone says, oh, Sonzi comes in, he doesn't play mid-time. Well, Ross has been ahead of Sonzi in the queue and Ross can't get in. So when Sonzi comes into the side, he's just down the pecking order. That's just how it is.
I think the other thing that adds to this factor is with our centre bounce attendances, they're so heavily skewed towards Taranto and Hopper, it's not funny. Like, I just feel like there's not enough balance or workload shared to the other midfielders, and there must be a reason why. But if you look at the numbers, those two are so far and away ahead, it's not funny. And I'm like, are they going to get burnt out at some point by doing this many CBAs?
Yeah. Well, look, Sonzi has got in there on his return RFC, but not very much. Greg Whitehead asks a question, and I've thought about this a lot, specifically with K-Mac coming to the end. I think Ross could absolutely be a tagger. If we were to develop someone in a specific, to specifically be that person, I think Ross could absolutely be a tagger.
Interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
He's got reasonable endurance. He's not the fastest, but he's not treacle like him. He is very disciplined. Like when he was learning how to play that wing role previously, he would be, as much as the first couple of games really killed me, after that, he was very good at holding shape and sticking to structure and things like that. So if you gave him a task, I think Ross could absolutely be a tagger. But that would mean that he would only play in the weeks where we were tagging.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's true as well, because it doesn't always apply every game. How many father sons and NGA do we have coming to us in the next few years? There's probably something I'm going to miss in this answer, but there's obviously Louis Callaway this year as a father son. Next year, as a father son prospect, there is Jack Lees and Archie Daffy. Next year, NGA, there's Tanner Armstrong, who is looking like a top 10 or 15 pick at the moment. And obviously, Cody Walker, who's probably going to go top three, but in all likelihood, we'll end up at Carlton, although we are led to believe the race is far from over. So we're still doing our best to try and convince Cody to come across, which would be unbelievably good if that was to happen.
But our spies on the ground in Echuca.
That's it. We've got people everywhere. And there's a few other names that I have missed that are either 2020.
The year after that, so in 3 years' time, under 16s currently, Matty Knight's son. And he's on the radar of the Geelong Falcons at the moment. He's currently playing under 16s.
Yep.
So, yeah,
wasn't he a key position player as well?
He's been playing as a forward.
Right.
Yes, but he's been moved around a little bit, but the last few weeks he's been played as a forward. And we have a spy down that way who is an Essendon supporter, actually. That is giving us some good intel on that.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is probably about a wrap for tonight. Thank you to everybody for tuning in from wherever you are. We appreciate all the love and support and glad we could answer a few questions. Make sure you get around us on all the channels. EJ, thank you very much for joining us tonight, mate. Sorry that I bailed on you for 30 or 40 seconds there. I've got no idea what button I pressed. But yeah, you held the fort well. Everyone was pretty wrapped with it.
Yeah, we got through. Scared the absolute bejesus out of me, but we got through.
Oh, very good. And so we'll Wednesday night we'll do team selection night. I'll see if Tiggs is back on. I'll double check that. On Friday I'll be recording behind Frenemy Line, so keep an eye out for that as well. And I'm sure I'll think of other things to post during the week too. But have a wonderful night, everybody. And until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.